On Wednesday, October 17th, the Eastwick Press sponsored a candidate debate between Democrat Tistria Hoetling and Republican Jake Ashby, candidates vying to represent the 107th Assembly District here in New York. The candidates took questions from a panel of journalists and then from the audience. We'll hear excerpts from each of the candidates' opening statements and then clips from answers to questions from the panel and the audience.
Thank all of you for coming out and being here tonight. And I do also want to thank my opponent, Jake Ashby, who is a veteran, for his service to our country. I think it's very important that we ensure that our veterans have access to the services that they deserve. As the town clerk, I fought very hard to ensure that all of my residents have access to services. In New Lebanon, we're a rural community and we're 45 minutes away from Hudson, where the services are located. So we've worked on bringing those services out into our rural community to ensure that people have access. That is why I've become a public servant. I think it's very important that all people have access to the support that they need to thrive. Unfortunately, right now, our government is not working for us. We have a head of the EPA that does not believe in climate change. We have a head of the education department that does not believe in publicly funded education. We have a tax plan that benefits the billionaires while the working class struggles. Here in New York State, we have to push back against the environmental rollbacks that are happening. We have to ensure that we have clean water to drink and clean air to breathe. We need to protect the funding to our schools to ensure that all children have access to a quality education. And we have to fight back against the tax plan to ensure that the breaks to the billionaires don't fall on the backs of our seniors and our working class. My name is Tistria Hoetling. I'm a mother, a local town clerk, and a part-time music teacher. I was born and raised in New Lebanon, New York, and now my husband Steve and I are raising our three children in New Lebanon. We're a blue-collar working-class family, and like many of you, we are fed up with the results that we get from Albany. We work hard, we pay our taxes, and we expect our state representatives to be there for us when our communities struggle, or worse, face a crisis. Unfortunately, for too long, the 107th Assembly District has gotten no results from Albany. While corrupt politicians hold office, our residents are facing a drinking water crisis in Nassau and Hoosick Falls and Petersburg. Too many of our young people are falling victim to the opioid crisis. We have crumbling roads and infrastructure, and too many communities that still don't have access to broadband internet. We have dairy farmers that are falling deeper and deeper into debt in a state that has almost 20 million people for them to deliver the fruits of their labor. The people of Rensselaer, Washington, and Columbia County deserve better. We deserve results, and we deserve a voice. My name is Tistria Hoetling. I am not running to be something. I am running to do something. Thank you.
My name is Jake Ashby, and I want to thank everyone for joining us tonight. I'm proud to be serving as your assemblyman and to represent my neighbors as a committed and independent voice for upstate. Four generations of the Ashby family live in this assembly district, and this is one of the reasons why I'm running for this seat. I have a commitment to serving others and working to make a difference in their lives, serving country and community. This is what led me to join the Army after the September 11th attacks. I was initially rejected for medical reasons, but I appealed to my Congressman Mike McNulty to earn my commission. In the Army, I served with combat units in Iraq and Afghanistan. I worked to bring freedom and stability to desperate areas. I stood up to tribal leaders who wanted to keep their people, especially women and young children, oppressed. When we were in Africa, we worked with local leaders to provide medical care. We coordinated the successful delivery of medical services, including life-changing surgeries, malaria prevention strategies, and aid to mothers infected with HIV. When I returned from these deployments, I continued to serve others as an occupational therapist, eventually starting my own practice. I know firsthand the difficulties our seniors and those facing medical challenges encounter every day. This is not something I've read about. This is something I do and have done for the last 16 years. As you can see, I'm not afraid of a fight. I'm not afraid to stand up to our governor when I think he's wrong. I'm not afraid to stand up to my own party when I think they're wrong. I had to fight to get into the Assembly, winning a special election when I was outspent 5-1. My commitment to serve you and to protect taxpayers, create new opportunities, safeguard freedoms, ensure clean drinking water, and erase corruption at every opportunity I get.
One of the first questions was about economic development in the region. We'll hear first from Jake Ashby.
That's a good question. I can tell you what we're not doing. We're not thinking of starting a movie theater in Syracuse, paying $15 million for it, promising 350 jobs, and only getting one job for it, then having to sell it to Onondaga County for a dollar. That's economic development under this governor. That's economic development under the Democrat Party. We're not talking about Startup New York, which, again, we're investing over $64 million in again. What have we gotten out of it? Other than frustration, other than a want for a better small business climate in our area. We're not talking about things like that. I know that the minority, the Republican minority, is fighting against ideas like this, and I'm going to continue to do so.
We need to look at our issues here in this district, and we need to combine them. So as I'm knocking on doors, I'm hearing there's a real need for quality jobs. We also have a senior aging population that needs ways to age comfortably in their own homes. So we need to link those two things together and create quality jobs for people to come in and care for our seniors, which is less expensive than nursing home care. And so we need to look at how we are keeping money local. I'd like to look at options to have caveats in our procurement policy that says if we're buying milk for our prisons and our schools, we're buying them from dairy farmers right here in New York State. Let's keep our money in our economy. When we look at things like tax breaks for the Walmarts and the Amazons of the world, yet small businesses are struggling to survive, we need to stop the race to the bottom, and we need to figure out how to encourage small business growth. And so I think we're looking at things backwards. We're letting the rich get richer, we're giving tax breaks to the large corporations, and we're taking our jobs out of the district. We need to look at how to keep our money and our economy thriving right here in New York State.
A member of the audience asked a question about healthcare, stating that $18,000 was the cost for covering a family of three.
I hear you. Here in the United States, we pay the highest per person for healthcare, the highest in the world, yet we're 24th for life expectancy. So what that means is we're paying the most money and we're not getting the best care. We have pharmaceutical companies, we have insurance companies that are making billions of dollars off of us being sick. We need to take the profit out of our healthcare industry. In 2009, 46% of bankruptcies that were filed here in the United States were filed because of medical reasons. Almost half of the people that had to declare bankruptcy did it because they or someone in their family got sick or injured. Like you said in your question, we're already paying the money. It's not like going to a single payer system means that we're paying money that we weren't paying before. Right now, we're paying at $18,000 a year for health insurance. I'm going to assume when you go to the doctor, you're paying copays, you're paying deductibles, right? So that it doesn't end there. $18,000 a year doesn't mean that you get all your medical care covered. So single payer means we're taking the profit away from the pharmaceutical companies, which is why they've spent so much money lobbying against it, because they don't want to lose out on all that money. And all it's doing is paying for it in a different way.
We have single payer. We have Medicaid in New York State. We have $160 billion budget for Medicaid. We also have the VA, which is the second largest federal budget that we have. Having worked in healthcare for the last 16 years and trying to work with the VA and Medicaid, I can tell you that it's atrocious. When we talk about increasing the cost for this, you also have to consider the impact that that's going to have on quality and accessibility. And we've seen that over the course of the years in New York State as our Medicare budget has continued to grow and grow and grow, and the same with the VA. I'm not for that. I'm for quality health care.
One of the most divisive questions of the evening was on the legalization of marijuana. The candidates held distinctly different positions, and so did the audience.
I am in support of the legalization of recreational marijuana. I have a few reasons. The first reason is that I worked in the court system, the local court system, for 6 years. What I saw is our police officers spending time, resources to issue tickets. Then the court staff, myself, time, resources to process tickets. Then we had the judge, we had the DA's office, we had the public defender in most of these cases. We spent a lot of time, money, and resources. And at the end of the day, you know what happened? Nothing. We said, it's okay. It's pretty much already legal. But what we're doing is we're spending time, money, and resources to go through this whole process to say, you're going to walk away and it's fine. The second reason is instead of spending all this money to do something that's pretty much already okay in our state, we could actually be making money. Colorado last year made $247 million. We're three times the population of Colorado. That's almost $750 million. We talked earlier about the opioid crisis, treatment. Where's the funding going to come from? Let's take that $700 million from legalizing marijuana and put it into treating a real drug addiction that needs services and help and treatment.
I do not support the legalization. It sounded a lot to what my opponent was saying, that she was looking more at the decriminalization of it rather than the legalization of it. But when we look at Colorado, even from a publication like the Denver Post, there's been several articles that have been written on what it's done to the social welfare system within Denver, Boulder, and Pueblo, and the costs that the criminal justice system the impact that it's having over there has been extremely detrimental.
There was some agreement between the two candidates on the issue of term limits, fighting corruption, and also addressing the opioid epidemic. But there were stark differences in their positions on immigration and the support of Sheriff Russo's implementation of the 287G program, fracking, and the SAFE Act.
I'm in favor of repealing the SAFE Act in its entirety. I'm the only candidate here that's endorsed by NYSERPA, and I take all of our rights seriously. There's things going on right now with the SAFE Act that I don't think many people are aware of, because of the fact that it was passed through a message of necessity in the middle of the night, and it was written so poorly that even our law enforcement officers were in violation of the law the very next day, and they had to go back and they had to re-amend it. We have people right now that are getting their pistol permits revoked by surrogate judges in the county because they're following the law, they're following New York State guidance. Where's the due process in that? I am a pro-2A candidate, and I will continue to fight for that.
So my husband is an avid hunter. We are a responsible gun-owning family. We have about 20 guns in the house, locked safely in a gun safe. I grew up with guns. My dad was a hunter. I learned how to shoot as a child, and I learned about gun safety. I'm also a mother. I'm also a community member. I'm also a concerned citizen. I don't think this is an either-or issue. I think that we can protect the Second Amendment and the rights of responsible gun owners like my husband while still keeping our children and our families safe. What can we agree on? Can we agree that we need to keep the guns out of the wrong hands? I think we could all agree on that. So how do we do that? Can we all agree that we don't need a weapon of war? A weapon that Mr. Ashby and Mr. Glad went through extensive training in the military to learn how to use.
The candidates also had distinctly different approaches to expanding broadband access to internet service.
As we see the small business climate improve in our region, that we will see internet be brought out to these areas. It's a matter of infrastructure. And when we're able to bring and augment our abilities to have this infrastructure in these areas, we're going to see internet come out there as well.
Jake mentioned small businesses. Expand small businesses and the internet will come. I disagree. I think expand the internet and the small businesses will come.
Incumbent Republican Jake Ashby will face off against his Democratic challenger, Tistria Hoetling, in the general election, which will be held on Tuesday, November 6th.